Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 137. I'm your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is this week's special guest co-host, Ethan Einhorn.
Hey, Chris. Great to be back.
Hey, Ethan. Great to have you back, especially this week because there is a ton to talk about in the world of Nintendo. It is very clear we are on the road to E3. We have tons of games to talk about. We have lots of breaking news. And of course, we have this week's big topic, which is going to be video game compilations.
Yes. What an exciting topic for a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a, busy, crazy, exciting time in general. So let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it. Let's start by talking about the news that broke just a couple of days ago about the new Pokemon games, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go.
Ha, I see what you did there.
Yeah, so these games are coming out in just a few months towards the end of the year on November 16th. They are hitting on the Switch. These are not the all-new mainline Pokemon games that we were promised. That one is still coming next year, but this is something we are getting in the interim. It is a remake of Pokemon Yellow, which of course was an upgrade to the original Pokemon Red and Blue. So this is essentially a full console HD remake of the very first Pokemon game on the Nintendo Switch. We'll be traveling the Kanto region, visiting, the gyms, getting the badges, seeing all these famous Pokemon that remember from, like 20 years ago. The game is back and potentially better than ever. Ethan, what do you think of this new development?
So I got to be honest with you. I was a little bit disappointed with the idea of integrating Pokemon Go type mechanics into this because I really wanted that full fat, next gen, full mainline Pokemon game. This is fine and it's great to get something rather than nothing, but I just feel like they are trying to introduce a lot of new players to the Pokemon world, which is great, to the console Pokemon world, but I'm already there. So that combined with the fact that I don't play and don't want to play Pokemon Go leaves me a bit in the cold on this one.
I know it does have some Pokemon Go-like features, mainly that you have to, throw the Pokeball to catch the Pokemon, but other than that, I wasn't really feeling that much of a heavy Pokemon Go influence. What were your issues with it?
My concern is just the way it's currently being presented visually, the idea of throwing the ball, that whole mechanic feels and looks a lot like Pokemon Go.
It does. So in that game, granted, you're not actually performing a throwing motion, but yes, clearly, they made it clear that was inspired by that game. You're aiming and you are gesturing as opposed to, flicking on a touch screen. And that is very Pokemon Go-like, but other than that, to me, it didn't seem like there was that much.
Yeah, time will tell, I guess. My concern is just that when you are trying to bring that new audience on board, they have different expectations. Mm-hmm. They want a more casual game, or at least have been used to a more casual game. Are we going to be getting something that is more of a mainline experience, just in the form of a remake, or is this really going to be simplified? That's what wasn't entirely clear to me.
It's true. They really didn't specify that. On the trailer, on the presentation, they did indicate, yes, this is trying to bring in new players. They did emphasize that a lot. But I don't know. I mean, just going on a gut instinct, I feel like this is pretty much a mainline Pokemon game, a remake of the classic. And other than this throwing play mechanic, I'm feeling like, they aren't really trying to make this be a mobile-style experience. And, I could be wrong about that. Maybe I'm misjudging. But that's my feeling so far.
Well, I'll tell you, when I showed my children the video, they really broke out when they saw that mechanic of having an actual Pokeball in your hand and throwing it. So that's not meant for me, but it certainly resonates with the younger crowd. What did you think of that specifically?
Well, I'm really hoping that there is just some conventional controls for catching the Pokemon. The gesturing, that's okay. The flicking on Pokemon Go, that's okay. The Pokeball Plus, that is kind of neat. I mean, if you really do have to continually be using the throw play mechanic to catch Pokemon throughout the game, there is a very good chance I will invest in a Pokemon Go peripheral. Rather than, flicking my controller, I can be flicking this fake Pokeball. And then apparently you can catch the Pokemon in it and then, take them with you to go on walks and stuff and, probably level them up in some way. It does sound interesting. I mean, I'll probably skip it if I can, but if that's the best way to do this capturing gesture over and over again, I'll probably go for it.
when I'm talking to a man who's spent well over probably, what, $1,500 to $2,000 on a Mimo, I'm not sure that you're going to be the guy who's skipping this, but we'll
this
see.
This is true. This is true. Regardless, this is, you know, OG Pokemon. It's kind of looking better than ever with its HD graphics, taking us back through familiar territory, familiar settings, familiar characters. And I do feel like it does make sense to start with this game on Switch, having a remake that only has 151 Pokemon in it and has a very specific blueprint to follow while, you know, adding a few new twists, rather than, you know, going through and building an entirely new game from the ground up. It just doesn't really seem feasible they could do that in that amount of time. So I feel like they are releasing this kind of as a placeholder just to keep the Pokemon fans occupied between now and next year when they have that completely brand new experience for us.
Well, and let's be honest also, I think they're trying to repeat the magic that they had last year by going with back-to-back releases Mario and Zelda. This time it's Smash and Pokemon, and that means that they're going to win the holidays, I would say.
That could very well be the case, too. Now, I know you don't seem very keen on the game so far, but if you're going to pick it up, are you going to go with the Pikachu version, or are you going to go with the Eevee version? Of course, you know, it's supposed to be a remake of Pokemon Yellow, but instead of just having Pikachu as your partner, you can now choose Eevee if you get that version. The versions also have, you know, different catch rates for various Pokemon. Personally, you know, I got to go with Pikachu. You know, he's the mascot. It was, you know, originally a Pikachu game, so that's where I am going to fall. What about you?
So now you have to remember, just like I put you to task for your Amiibo collection, for me, when I say something left me cold and it's Nintendo first party, that just means I'm not salivating. It doesn't mean that I won't dramatically overspend on the product. So I'm certain to buy 3 copies of this particular game, okay. One for each kid and one for myself. And so I had that very conversation with my daughter and son last night.
Uh-huh.
My son, of course, said, I must get Pikachu. And my daughter was fine with that because she wants the kind of off the beaten path product that not everyone's going to choose. So Eevee is better for her anyway.
Okay.
And yeah, I'd have to say I'm probably, along with you, going to be doing Pikachu for myself.
All right.
And again, to qualify, this does, of course, by extension, mean that, yes, we do have 3 Switches in our house.
Well, of course. Doesn't everybody?
Of course.
Well, one thing I'm guessing you'll probably get more mileage out of than I am is this two-player mode. It is including a, you know, built-in two-player mode. Second player controls a separate character, and they can help you catch Pokemon, battle enemies, but they also, you know, appear on the screen as a, you know, second actual character. It's not just there for the battles and the catching. What do you think of that mode? Is it something that you are looking forward to enjoying with your family?
Yeah, for sure. We've been having a lot of fun with multiplayer experiences recently. Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze,
oh,
and Kirby. We've even gone back recently to the Wii U and enjoying Super Mario 3D World. So, uh-huh. Yeah, if we have a chance to do some co-op couch play, absolutely. And also, we gotta give some credit to the graphics on this one. Boy, it is nice to see true HD
yes.
Pokemon and actual overworlds. Not, I mean, we've seen Pokken Tournament. We know how beautiful
right,
the fights
right,
can
exactly.
look. Boy, seeing those overworlds and those chibi characters running around in full HD, that was a treat.
Yeah, I think the game does look very, very good. And I think it is just a taste of what we can expect with that new full mainline Pokemon game coming in 2019. Yeah, it's looking pretty impressive so far. But yeah, I think it's just scratching the surface of what we're going
to
get.
So my question to you, Chris, is are you, as somebody who has been investing some time into Pokemon Go, is this going to renew your interest in that game so you can play on the go with a wireless connection?
You know, I think it very well might. I mean, my interest in Pokemon Go really hasn't waned too much. I have been playing that game almost every day since it came out, and I don't even really know why, because I don't really have like an end goal in sight, but I keep playing and catching. I guess I'm just trying to catch them all, really. But I do like the idea that, oh, now I can finally take my Rattata army I've been building up over the past year plus and, you know, transfer them over into a Pokemon, a Let's Go Pikachu. So yeah, I really do like the idea of having this connectivity and being able to do something with this game that I've been playing to really, I don't know what end, but it's like, oh, maybe I can finally get something out of this after all.
Yes, let's just hope that the Switch version doesn't have you actually shelling out real cash to buy Pokeballs.
Indeed, indeed. That would not make me happy one bit. I'm guessing it probably will not.
I think you're right.
Obviously, they have their own free-to-play Pokemon Endeavor on Switch we'll get to in just a little bit. But yeah, I think they will probably keep it as a regularly priced game as far as Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee is concerned.
Yeah.
Overall, I am really looking forward to this game. Even though, you know, they've got the slant that it's aimed at beginners, I do think it is oozing nostalgia. It does look gorgeous, and I am very, very interested. And cross my fingers for the best.
Yep, it's going to be a great holiday for sure. So what are you looking more forward to, though, this or Smash?
Oh, Smash Brothers. I'm definitely more of a Smash Brothers guy than a Pokemon guy. I mean, it took me a long time to really appreciate Pokemon. I do like the games, but yeah, for me, Smash is totally where it's at.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. I think I'm in the same boat. And frankly, I kind of like the excuse to buy a whole new set of, say, 50-plus amiibo to go with it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if they end up doing that again. Boy, my pocketbook will not like it, but certainly my collector's mentality will.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, let's we'll have to see where that goes. Anyway, as I was alluding to, there was also another Pokemon game not only announced for Switch, but actually released for Switch. And that is Pokemon Quest, which is a free-to-play Pokemon game, and it is out now. And this game, rather than, you know, featuring your usual Pokemon aesthetic, has these Minecraft-style blocky character designs, and you run around this island exploring and fighting automatically. So, Ethan, have you played this game? I know you're not keen on free-to-play titles, but have you checked it out at all?
I have not, because I need to know first, and you can probably help make the decision for me. Is it like Pokemon Rumble, where you just spend $30 or so, and then you're never asked to spend more? Or is it more like the traditional free-to-play thing, where it's just unlimited spending?
Well, it's hard for me to tell so far, but I kind of feel like it might be unlimited spending. I did play the game a bit. I went into the store. I tried to explore the options. And the main thing they're trying to sell to you are these decorations. You can buy this Expedition 3-pack bundle that has all kinds of decorations for your Pokemon campsite. And that costs $30. And then you can buy like these other items, I guess, you can equip on your characters, and those are like $3 a pop. So between all that stuff, you know, there's already a lot they're asking you to spend money on. And the other way that they, you know, want you to keep spending is that you have this battery charge that you have to maintain. You can only go into so many missions before your battery runs out, and then you have to replenish your battery. And that requires these PM tickets. And you can get PM tickets a number of ways. You know, you complete these little objectives, these little quests, and you get lots of PM tickets. Like, I was getting PM tickets without even really trying. But once your battery runs out, you can either, you know, stop the game and it will automatically regenerate, or if you really want to keep going, then you can spend some of your PM tickets. Now, I have plenty of PM tickets, so I haven't seen what happens if I have zero. Does it take me to the store and say, here, buy a bunch of PM tickets for so much money? I'm not sure about that, but yes, it does want you to spend, you know, this currency in-game to keep playing if you want to keep going.
Okay, so yeah, for me, I just think that I'd have to see if they are selling PM tickets, and that's just a endless consumable purchase, I would have no interest in the game. If that's something that they're not selling and effectively you can get it all at $30 or $40, then I would definitely consider downloading and giving it a try.
Well, let me add another wrinkle to this conversation, and that is that after playing it for, I don't know how long, an hour and a half, I am thinking this game is actually not very good.
Oh, well, there you go. That's another consideration. Why is that, Chris?
I am just getting bored out of my mind playing this game. Mm. As I said, the exploring and the fighting is all automatic. You select your team, you choose which Pokemon are going to go out there, and you set them up all in advance. And then once your team is out there, they just sort of do this stuff on their own. You can then select when they use special moves, and that's done by, you know, touching the icons on the touch screen, or if you are not using the touch screen, you like move a cursor around with the left stick and then, you know, emulate tapping it by pressing the A button. It's really made for touchscreen controls. But anyway, you don't have that much interactivity. And after doing several of these missions where I really didn't feel like I was doing that much. I was pretty darn bored. By the time I had run out of battery charges, I'm like, okay, that's fine with me. I don't need to play anymore right now. I'm not sure I need to play anymore ever. So that was my reaction after spending some time with this title.
Okay, well, yeah, I think that it might just not be for us. Nintendo is obviously trying to build as large an audience as they can, and I think there is great benefit to being able to let everyone try and enjoy these great brands. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you do that, the other side of it is, of course, by extending your audience, you have to be willing to make games that don't appeal to everyone. So,
right.
Yeah, so I guess this one's just probably not for us.
Yeah, probably not. And aside from finding the gameplay boring, I do not really care for this aesthetic style at all. I mean, obviously, there are millions of players who love Minecraft, and I can see why they might want to take inspiration from that. But it does not do anything for me. It's like, why are you taking these wonderful character designs and turning them into this blocky nonsense? So you can then run around an island automatically and go on this grind fest to level up so you can then tackle the next level that isn't really interactive. So, yeah, I did not have the most positive experience with this one overall.
Now, if the game was called Pokemon Blocky Nonsense, maybe we'd have something.
Perhaps so. I would definitely be more intrigued were that the title. Anyway, let us move along from this one to an announcement that was much more up my alley, much more exciting, and that was Capcom dropping a bunch of new details on Mega Man 11.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, we have found out the game has a release date of October 2nd, so that is not too terribly far off, only about 4 months. And judging from the new gameplay trailer they showed, it is looking fantastic. There was tons of stuff shown. New levels, new enemies, new powers, new cutscenes where Mega Man is in like his regular street clothes. Overall, I was just very impressed with what they had to show on this title.
For sure.
What were your thoughts?
Oh, man, this I'm really excited about. I did pick up Mega Man Collection 1 and 2.
All right.
So I am building up to the new release.
Excellent.
This is great. This is what I wanted. This, frankly, I think is the smart step by making it look more contemporary. If they kept with the NES style, I'd still be interested, but not as interested as I am here.
Oh, totally. So, it's totally time for Mega Man to evolve.
Absolutely, yeah. This feels like the right move. It's something that is clearly going to appeal to longtime Mega Man fans, but I think that different audiences, new audiences, people, again, like my children, will find this much more appealing and approachable because of that beautiful art style. And let's be honest, it is more at home on Switch than any other machine.
Yes, very, very much so.
So I don't know about you also, but I have found that I actually prefer the D-pad broken up into four buttons for digital control. I'm one of those weirdos that think that that actually feels more precise. And I was actually better at games like Shovel Knight when I was playing it on the Joy-Cons than even on the Pro Controller. So I am really, really excited about that being a part of the experience for Mega Man as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've mostly stuck to using the Pro Controller pretty much every time I play a game on Switch, but you know, I can certainly see that. Now, what about some of the new stuff they showed off for Mega Man 11? What about this double gear system? You know, we saw the gears when the game was first announced, but now we found out there's a speed gear and a power gear, and you can use those abilities at pretty much any time to increase your speed or your power, or you can use the double gear ability, sort of a desperation attack that boosts both power and speed and gives you this final charge shot, but you know, then you overheat and you can't use gears and you're powered down for a little bit. It's certainly a new addition to the Mega Man franchise. It's probably the biggest addition, and it's certainly something we have not quite seen before in a Mega Man game.
Well, yeah, but it still doesn't take it into Mega Man X territory. This still feels like the original Mega Man series. It's just new moves and a different sense of risk reward. I think it's important to mix it up a bit like that. And that, to me, feels like a welcome set of additions.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't see any reason that it shouldn't be there. And it's the sort of thing where, you know, if you're a purist and you don't want to use it, then it sounds like you won't necessarily have to. It's only there if you want to get a little bit of an extra edge in battle, especially given that you can only use this double gear when your health bar is all the way down. And then, you know, if you blow it, you are apparently weakened quite a bit. So it sounds like it is going to be a pretty cool new addition to the standard Mega Man play mechanics.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, again, they're obviously looking to be very careful with how this game is going to look and feel. And they are taking their legacy really seriously across the board on all their classic properties. So this is great also because, remember, there was that window of time where Capcom, post-Inafune, when he left, it was almost as if they pretended that this character didn't exist anymore.
Yeah, pretty much. For a while, about the only thing we had was Mega Man and Smash Brothers to rely on. But yeah, it seems like they've been, you know, very careful bringing back in the right way and, you know, giving fans a lot of what we want. And that includes these new levels. Like, we got to see this electrical area for the first time, and that's chock full of these, you know, crazy traps to avoid, these, you know, laser-like electric blasts. We also got to see more of the construction South American ruins levels that we've seen before, with all these destructible blocks, moving blocks that push you into these grinders, you know, lots of jumping and dodging stuff and conveyor belts and deadly spikes. There was this real quick brief scene of this forest that was on fire. Like, you blink and you could miss that one. That was like a really cool level, but yeah, lots of great stuff in this game that really you know, digs into that Mega Man nostalgia, but does seem to be delivering something new.
Oh, and those bosses look incredible, don't they?
Yeah, they're pretty impressive. I really like the way that Block Man turns into this giant screen-filling boss. I mean, I remember back in the day when screen-filling bosses, that was like the most important thing you could have in a video game.
Yep.
And here we are all these years later, Mega Man delivering us them screen-filling bosses.
Yeah, and again, it really does feel like it's right around the corner. I'm just glad we're also past that window where 2D is considered old-fashioned and passé. I mean, remember all the problems that Capcom had getting Mega Man onto the PlayStation 1 when they really wanted that to be a 3D machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now nobody
being at working designs in the PS1 era, I remember it very, very well. I guess that was more the PS2 era, but tail end of PS1.
Right, yeah. I mean, but now it's just seen as a really critical part of the language of games, and it's cool that it's continuing to evolve with new characters and you know, experiences, but also our favorite characters are sticking around in 2D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and apparently they have voiceovers. I mean, it's possible that these voiceovers were just for the trailer, but I'm kind of guessing they're not. But we got to hear Wily and Light and Mega Man all talk. And for my money, I thought they actually all sounded pretty darn good. It was a huge step up from Mega Man 8, where we had Dr. Wily and stuff like that. It actually seems like it's going to be quality stuff.
So, going back to some of my memories being over at Sega, when I was working with an external team, and then, you know, we were pulling together Mickey Mouse Castle of Illusion,
mm-hmm.
There was a lot of debate as to should this game be targeted from a difficulty standpoint to children because it's Mickey Mouse, or should it be targeting an older audience, people in their 30s and 40s who grew up with Castle of Illusion?
Mm-hmm.
And I was very, very happy that logic prevailed as far as I was concerned, and they targeted the older players. But it is a question that comes up here as well. So Mega Man 11, obviously they're sticking with 11. That means something really only to the older players.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be tuned for us, or is it going to be made easier, more accessible for a younger audience?
Well, it seems like it's going to be accessible to everybody. I don't know all the details, but there are going to be, like, you know, four different difficulty settings. You can go with the normal standard Mega Man difficulty mode, or you can turn on, like, assist options that will make it so you don't instantly die from pits and spikes. So they are putting all those options in there so it can be, like, sort of all things to all people. Hopefully it works out. Yeah, we have seen a hint of this in some of the past Mega Man games. Like, there was an easy mode in Mega Man 10. I think they're on the right track with this plan.
That's good, and I can see how that really does make sense post Funky Kong. I'll tell you, I would be skeptical of that kind of approach prior to Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, but the existence of a Funky Kong character made that game much easier and more approachable for my kids, and made it more fun for the family overall. So if they're balancing for everyone, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, I really think that they are. Another thing is, a lot of people I know that are our age, you know, they're like, oh, my reflexes aren't what they used to be. I wanted to have an easy mode anyway, so...
Ah, now with that in mind, are you spoiled at this point with the handy rewind function that you have in Mega Man 1 to 6?
Yeah, so far, no, I don't think so. Yeah, I'm trying not to abuse that. I will certainly be ready for the challenge in Mega Man 11 when it arrives.
Okay, that sounds good. That's the thing, is I'm a little bit concerned that even as I just went on and on about the importance of difficulty, I got to admit, I've been using that rewind a lot. So I hope I'm not too soft when 11 actually does hit.
Well, there is no rewind in Mega Man Legacy Collection 2. So for 7, 8, yep. 9, and 10, you'll have to be just relying on your skills and abusing the save state function. So
there's at least that.
Of course, in addition to the game itself, they also announced a Mega Man 11 amiibo.
Amiibo!
Yep. And I have that golden amiibo and the regular Smash amiibo.
Oh, so very nice, very nice.
I will have the Trinity.
Well, I have those as well, obviously, but I am definitely looking forward to adding this one to my collection. It is the new Mega Man design in a jumping pose with his arm raised. You know, it's interesting, though, they call it part of the Mega Man series amiibo. And, you know, does that mean there will actually be additional amiibo in the Mega Man series? Or are they just calling it that to differentiate it from the Smash series? I don't know, but obviously I would be very happy if there were more Mega Man amiibo. I want to get Proto Man and Roll and Bass and Wily. Heck, they could make amiibo of every single Robot Master from all 11 Mega Man games, and I would catch them all.
I would too, and you have to think they'd sell better than the Animal Crossing amiibo.
They probably would. But yeah, you know, I think they can do it. You know, put Smash to shame. You know, we got like, what, 50-something Smash amiibo? Let's go for all 80-whatever Robot Masters.
Oh, yeah. I'd be all in, so long as I don't have to wait outside in the cold at a Walmart.
A Walmart I can handle. Outside of GameStop, where I'm probably not going to get it after waiting there, I couldn't handle that.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's awesome that they are making this amiibo. You know, whether it's one or there are more, I'm just very glad to see it happen. And then there is the amiibo edition at GameStop. It's apparently a GameStop exclusive. It includes the game, the amiibo, some stickers of Mega Man, Wily, Rush, and the game logo, a Dr. Wily patch, and a cleaning cloth that shows off the stage select screen from the game. Why it's a cleaning cloth, I don't know, because I would never actually, you know, dirty the cleaning cloth. I want to just keep it as a collectible, but that's what it is. It's a cleaning cloth. But obviously, I'm all in. I pre-ordered that as soon as it went up online. You know, GameStop has kind of done me wrong in the past, but it's exclusive to them. What can I do? I have to get it.
Well, and be grateful that you have a physical copy, because remember when Sonic Mania came out and it was digital only?
That's right.
And that, to me, is the standard bearer at this point, is I know they're going for a different approach. Sonic Mania was more of a what if Sonic was released on Saturn type of aesthetic. This is more contemporary. But Sonic Mania, to me, was the third best game of the year last year on any platform.
Oh,
right,
I agree.
Behind
I think I completely
Mario
agree.
And Zelda. Yep. Yeah, so... Yep. That game was awesome. Let's see if Mega Man can be as good.
I certainly hope so. I have very high hopes. Yeah, I'm a huge Mega Man fan, so I cannot wait to see and play more.
Yep.
All right, moving along then to another exciting third-party announcement. And, oh, you just brought up Sonic the Hedgehog. And Sega has revealed that there is a new Sonic Racing game on the way. It is called Team Sonic Racing. It will be coming out on Switch this coming winter. But we don't know a whole lot about the game so far. What do you think of what has been revealed so far, and what do you want out of this game?
So, full disclosure, I am very excited about this game, but then I worked with Sumo Interactive on the contract for the original game.
That's right.
So
you must know all the secret dirt.
I want to see my old friends just knock it out of the park. I think that Transformed was fantastic.
Transformed was pretty darn good.
Really, really liked all the fan service, and they went in deep for fan service there. I'm curious to see what it means to be a Sonic-branded racing game as opposed to a Sega-branded racing game.
Right.
That's an interesting distinction. Can also be different, again, in terms of who they're trying to reach on an audience level. But I think that those games control really well. You got to remember Sumo also worked on the console ports of OutRun 2, and these games feel a lot like that in terms of that really satisfying power drift.
Yeah, Sumo knows their stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that it's something that is definitely one to look forward to, especially since we don't know when Mario Kart 9 is coming. That might be several years from now.
True.
And there's also not even been any announcement about more Mario Kart 8 content. So if you want something that's totally fresh, this is, I think, a good approach. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it's an underrated series. Anyone who's actually played Transformed is likely to tell you the same. I know fellow Sega fan and Player One podcast co-host Greg Stewart sings that game's praises. So yeah, it's a really perfect fit for Switch. Can't wait. And if I play it half as much as I played Mario Kart 8, it's a big win.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, but the only things we know about so far are that it does feature Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, and Shadow, and there is actually some team aspect. It's not just, you know, a word in the title. There really is some sort of team component involved. You know, I can't really begin to guess what that would mean. Do you have any speculation or what you'd like to see it mean?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, we've seen that kind of double dash approach, but it sounds like this is more about multiple players actually being able to take full control of their own characters. So not sure. Just have to see, because I think that it would have been reasonable to be skeptical seeing what they tried to do with Transformed, making it so you were, you know, sometimes a plane and sometimes a boat and sometimes a car. But that worked out really well. So I think that these guys have the chops to make a team mechanic work. What do you think it's going to be like?
You know, I don't really know either, but I am also hopeful that it means some really cool co-op gameplay. In recent years, it seems like co-op has been gaining momentum, you know, maybe expanding into other genres where it hasn't been as prominent. But if there's some sort of, you know, cooperative team gameplay mechanic in Team Sonic Racing, I think that could be really, really fun.
Yeah, I think the other thing you got to look at too is Sonic Forces. I really enjoyed it. It's my son's favorite game of all time. Uh-huh. I know not everyone's a lover, but it looked really nice on that platform. So these bright primary color worlds, you know, are a perfect fit again for our favorite platform.
Yeah, I mean, my hopes for this one are, again, like yours, really, really high. I think it's going to be pretty darn cool, regardless of what these mechanics are. I am guessing they are going to, you know, knock it out of the park one way or the other.
Yeah.
Moving along then to one other bit of news, Nintendo has announced that there is a new version of the new Nintendo 2DS coming out, featuring The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds. It hits on July 2nd, and it features this gorgeous blue Hylian shield design, and naturally it has A Link Between Worlds packaged in there already on the system, I believe.
Yeah, and it looks great, but the only major issue is Link Between Worlds is perfect as a sample of what you can do with 3D gameplay.
Yes, it's a great looking 3D game. That is a game I do not want to play in 2D. I mean, my biggest issue, you know, isn't necessarily that, but the fact that this is a new Nintendo 2DS system. I mean, I would kind of love to add this to my collection. I don't have a new Nintendo 2DS yet, but I love the 3D in that system, so it would be really hard for me to be like, yes, let's go ahead and get this just because it looks cool. I mean, it looks really cool, and I love that game, but not enough to spend another $160 for something that I just know I would never play and would only be there as a display piece.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Now, one thing that I'll say is I think that when you look at software, right, you look at, say, NES games, and they don't really stand the test of time. I mean, some, like Mario Brothers 3, is always fantastic. But, you know, compared to, like, Super Nintendo games, they just haven't aged as well, right?
Okay.
I think it's a similar thing from a I think it's a similar thing from a hardware perspective, where 3DS, I just think historically won't age that well, but the Switch, I think, will age beautifully. I think that 20 years from now, we'll still look at that and be amazed by that piece of hardware. And so where I'm getting to is, if we're seeing that Nintendo is continuing to support the 3DS even more than a year after its successor has come out, hopefully they do the same with Switch.
Oh,
and
yeah, for sure.
That's where I will happily get a version of Switch that has a Hyrulean shield on its back.
Man, if they had done that, if they had, you know, gone like they're doing in Japan, where they're selling it without the dock as, you know, just sort of a dedicated handheld thing, if they had put like the Hylian shield on the back of the Switch like that, oh man, then I'd probably be in real trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Money-wise, I mean. Because that would be awesome.
Yep.
All right, that takes care of all the news I wanted to talk about this week. Let us move along to some game impressions. And man, there is so much stuff to talk about. I mean, I totally feel like the holidays have come early. I mean, I think that perhaps for me, I'll have picked up more games in the past month in May than I'm going to be picking up like in November. It would not surprise me one bit. But between stuff that we've already talked about, like Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze and Hyrule Warriors and the Mega Man Legacy Collections, and then all the stuff that I've played and has come out in the last couple weeks, it's just mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have been spending more money than I ever intended to
yeah, me
in
too.
This window. Yeah, there's been so much good content. And the thing is there's the what's old is new on Switch. I know that the system is sometimes teased for that. But boy, I mean, being able to play Ikaruga and spend mm-hmm. only $15 for the privilege, that's one I would love to kick off the conversation with, because you flip that thing on its side and you do it in Tate mode, and it's just like having a little arcade.
Yeah, that game is excellent. It is awesome. It is still one of the all-time great top-down shooters. It still looks fantastic and plays great all these years later. What really separates it from the pack is the polarity switching play mechanic. You change colors, you absorb the shots of that color. It really gives the shooter a puzzle aspect that makes it like nothing else out there. And learning the patterns and figuring out how and when to use this ability to your advantage is an absolute joy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really a great addition. It feels so good to play on this machine. And, you know, again, $15 cannot be beat.
Right.
I'm also really enjoying, speaking of arcade-style games, Runner 3, though it is hard as nails. Did you pick that one up?
I have not picked that one up. I've been wondering about it. Please, do give me your further thoughts on that title.
So it is rhythm-based, just like Runner 2. And mm-hmm. Runner 2 is a game that I just got obsessed with on the Vita, so I knew I'd like this one. This is harder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, your mileage will vary there, because, you know, a lot of people thought Runner 2 was already pretty hard. But if you are okay with just repeating and repeating and repeating a stage, last night I had to repeat one stage 28 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, just to get all the gold pieces, which allows you to perfect the stage and then open another series of challenges. It is an auto runner.
Right.
Where the character runs by themselves and you're in charge of jumping and dodging and kicking.
And sliding.
And sliding, yep. The thing that is magical about it, beyond its really cool look, it's just a very cartoon style, is its rhythm gameplay, where you have a musical beat, and when in doubt, it's always best to hit the button in line with the beat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty neat mechanic. That makes it feel different than your traditional platformer. One reasonable comparison might be that every stage feels a bit like those music sequences from Rayman Legends.
Oh, okay. I think that's probably fair to say.
Yeah. So, again, would highly recommend it. Really is a fun game if you're up for quite a stiff challenge. We were talking about games like Mega Man and, you know, classic titles. I really liked what Iga did with the Circle of the Moon, the Bloodstained 8-bit game.
Yes, Bloodstained Curse of the Moon. I've been playing that as well. And, yeah, that is pretty darn excellent. It is very, very Castlevania 3 in both look and feel. Big hats off to IntaCreate for, you know, emulating retro games like they do and really making it feel like a modern update to that classic Castlevania gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, they nail even the little details. It's also less punishing than the original games. I do like that you can turn on or off the kickback that characters get when they get hit by the kind of Medusa-like enemies.
Or any enemies, for that matter, yes. That's
right.
What casual mode is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, but I feel like it really is an 8-bit game. It feels like something that is from that era with just enough refinement to not be as frustrating. So I have one more world to go in that game, at least on a first playthrough. How far in are you?
I think I am on world 6. I'm on the 6th world. I just got to the second map with the castle. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Yeah, I like the bosses. I think they're clever. They're not too difficult, but they provide a reasonable challenge.
But they look really cool, and they're really intimidating, too.
Yeah. My favorite so far is the one with all the coins.
Yeah, that one was pretty neat. I mean, all of them are pretty neat, but that one was definitely cool.
Yeah.
The different playable characters are a good group as well. You know, you got Miriam, the hero from the full main Bloodstained game. And, you know, she's basically the Simon Belmont. She's got her whip as well as an axe, a boomerang, a dagger. We've got that wizard guy with his cool spells. And then Jabel, who can turn into a bat and is basically Alucard. So I really like that balance there. I mean, the main character who's in there, you know, is sort of the least interesting. But so what? It's still a good group of four balanced characters.
It is. Now, the one challenge, of course, is that once one of those characters dies, you carry on as the other three, but the levels sometimes feel like they're very specifically tuned for a specific character.
Sometimes I've noticed that.
Yeah, so that can be a bit challenging if the character you need has died.
I suppose that's true. Now, I don't suppose, as you've been playing through, you have tried not getting the other characters to join your party, have you?
No, I didn't even know you could do that.
You can murder them. You can walk up to them and stab them to death and kill them in cold blood. And then, instead of joining your party, their soul will go into you and it will give you a new ability instead.
That's crazy.
So I've started playing the game like four different times. I started playing it once in regular mode, once in casual mode, once going through and just walking past the guy. Didn't talk to him. They don't join your party at all. And then try it again and just, you know, murder the heck out of them, and I'm getting new abilities. So yeah, it seems like there are, you know, three sort of routes you can take, and then, you know, different permutations as to what you do as you approach each character. I'm curious as to how it'll all unfold in the end.
Pro tip then, huh?
Yeah.
That's something I would never have thought to try. It's almost as hidden as just stand in one place in Far Cry type of thing. That's cool.
One thing I do want to say about this game, though, you know, while I am really digging the game, I'm loving the levels, has great designs, it has a huge variety, loving the ghost ship, the pyramid, all that stuff, loving the enemies, loving the fact that there are basically Medusa heads with that same pattern in there, really enjoying this classic Castlevania homage. I do have to say, I am kind of ticked the way this has gone for backers. I don't know if you were a backer of Bloodstained on Kickstarter, but I was.
I was not.
Well, I was, and I've been waiting to get my code to get this game, you know, which, you know, isn't free because I've already paid, you know, some amount of money. And I'm supposed to get the codes, and they totally blew it on the codes. They still have not given them out to most players. I mean, if you're on Steam and that's your preferred platform, that's fine. But if you want it on Switch, if you want it on 3DS, if you want it on other platforms, I think you are still waiting. And I have not gotten my code yet. So, you know, I lucked out and was able to get to play it another way. But yeah, I feel like they really dropped the ball on this. You know, they only announced the game a couple of weeks ago. And I feel like, you know, they knew at that time that they didn't have codes. They really should have gotten all their ducks in a row, figured out when the codes would be available, and then at that time, you know, announce the game, release the game, get all that set up, because, you know, as a Kickstarter supporter, you know, I feel like, you know, we are the grassroots movement that made all this possible. We want to be part of this conversation and be talking with everybody about the game and being like, yes, this game is amazing, because we're like, you know, the hardcore supporters that were there, you know, from the get-go. And we'd be praising the heck out of this thing, standing on the street saying, yes, check it out. But now we're just left waiting out in the cold, and we either have to plunk down an extra $10 or just wait to get the game. And I'm like, that is totally not cool. Hopefully it does not bode poorly for the rest of the Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah, that's a rough one. I think that you're right. And in fact, it would have been even cooler if the Kickstarter backers ended up getting the game, say, a week before everyone
else. Yeah, that's
even
a lot of times how it works, you know?
Even a couple days would
be
great.
Right. But I feel like they just, you know, didn't have things lined up properly. And yeah, now us Kickstarter folks are mostly just out there holding the bag. So hopefully they can improve their act for next time.
Yes. Did want to also bring up a game that I ended up picking up at retail, was surprised there was even a boxed copy.
Okay.
And then have put so far 9 hours into it, and I'm really enjoying it, and it is Battle Chaser.
Oh, okay.
Have you tried Battle Chaser's Night War?
No, I have not. This one I'm hardly familiar with at all.
Okay, yeah. So when the system launched and I Am Setsuna came out, after finishing Zelda, I jumped into that thinking, man, I really want that Final Fantasy style turn-based gameplay. Mm-hmm. And I was left kind of unimpressed. I just didn't feel the characters or world. Here, I don't know if it's the art or the battle system, but it all comes together to just keep me going. And I'm interested, and I like the characters, and I love the animations, and it looks like a 90s comic book, but it's set in a fantasy world. It's such a smart, clever, fun game. And if you were 13 again, and you were playing classic RPGs, I kind of feel like this game looks the way you imagined the games you were playing back then looked, right? In your imagination, you didn't see little sprite characters. You saw something much cooler. This game actually delivers on that.
Okay.
And again, the whole thing feels delightfully retro in that it's not heavily taxing. I have been playing it often while watching Arrested Development with my wife, for instance, you know? So it doesn't take 100% of your attention, but it's a really fun game to just kind of relax and grind and see some beautiful environments and some lovely character animations and just really feel like you're enjoying a labor of love. It feels like something that was made from people who just grew up loving Final Fantasy and, you know, Chrono Trigger, and they wanted to do that and okay. have been able to deliver. So check it out if you get a chance.
No, that was very high praise. I am definitely a fan of old school Japanese RPGs and JRPG type of games. So yeah, that is one that was not on my radar that I feel like I should definitely check out.
Yeah, so a couple others that are very recent. There's just so many, and so I'll keep it short, but have you tried Framed Collection?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I've heard good things about the Framed titles, but I've never played any of them.
Yeah, the Framed titles are brilliant, and a few years back, Hideo Kojima himself said that the original Framed was his game of the year.
Oh, wow.
On any platform. Yeah. So it's very simple. You're just lining up a set of comic panels to ensure that your hero can get from one end to the other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really slick. It's very fun. Again, it's very relaxing. Pretty short, but I spent, I think, less than $10 for the pair.
Right.
I don't think it's on sale anymore, but still, it certainly won't break the bank. And it's a really stylish game that is fun to play on the touchscreen. And also Banner Saga finally came here, and this is the platform that I have been waiting for. Have you tried that one at all?
I haven't played on Switch, but I have played it previously on, boy, I think it was probably the Mac version.
Oh, wow. Okay. So again, this kind of Ralph Bakshi style art, and it's a strategy RPG. Much like Battle Chasers, it feels like a labor of love product. It feels like it's done by a small team that really wanted to execute on a big vision. And, you know, it's been on a lot of platforms, but if you've missed it, it's a really good one. Also, unlike something like Xenoblade Chronicles that'll take you 150 hours, this one is in and out in like 20 hours, which is great.
That is good to know. And, you know, the third installment, I believe, is going to be coming out in a few months. So this is sort of a warm-up for that. We're going to get part two as well. But, lots of Banner Saga on the way.
What have you been playing, Chris?
For me, the big one I've been playing is Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection.
Yeah.
Yeah, this features 12 perfect arcade ports going from the original Street Fighter through the various iterations of Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter Alpha 1, 2, and 3, and all three variations of Street Fighter 3. It's the first time that a lot of these games have been released on a Nintendo system, and they all play and sound fantastic.
They definitely do. And all the options that you'd want, from scanline versions to, you know, just the clean pixels.
Yep.
It moves perfectly. It runs really nicely online. I've been doing some competitive play there.
Oh, cool. I have not checked out the online modes yet myself, so that's good to hear.
That's great. Yeah, and the stuff that Frank Cifaldi and the team over at Digital Eclipse put together for the history of is just great.
It is ridiculous. I mean, I would probably pay $40 just for the bonus content alone.
Yes.
I mean, there's so much art and music, and the history stuff is all very well researched, and there's a lot of stuff I had never seen before. I am very, very impressed.
These guys school Criterion, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, for real, this thing is just filled to the gills. It's $40, but I mean, so worth it when you consider all the content that you get.
With all this content and 12 games, 12 entire games, even though one of them is terrible.
Yeah, but you need to have that right?
Yes. That's the original Street Fighter. All the rest are pretty great.
But I mean, that bonus content, seeing what the original Street Fighter might have looked like on NES.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. Mm-hmm.
And it's well written and really nicely laid out. And it is exactly what you hope for, because what you get throughout with this compilation is a sense that the guys that are responsible for this really know their stuff.
They know their stuff and they really care about what they're doing.
Yes. You can tell that they understand that they're making something that might be played in tournaments. They're making something that might, for many, many players, be the definitive version of these games, the way that people will continue moving forward to play it principally.
Mm-hmm.
And they clearly understand what kind of responsibility that is. So this game to me is a 10. I really think that it is the perfect model of what you want from a compilation.
Yeah, it is pretty darn excellent. I don't have really any complaints myself, except for the fact that over the years, my skills have completely deteriorated. I suck fairly badly, especially at Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Like, on the easiest difficulty setting, man, I got my butt kicked by the computer.
Then you and I should totally play online. That would be fun. I probably am not going to hold up pretty well long-term against people online, but it was nice when it first launched that I was able to get a couple of wins in. You know, I've been playing a lot of the Ultra Street Fighter 2, though, so that kind of helped. And frankly, I am happy to have both.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm still glad to have Ultra Street Fighter 2 in my library. And that one, like, I swear, like, the highest difficulty on Ultra Street Fighter 2 is comparable to the lowest difficulty in some of these games. It's dramatic how different those difficulties can be.
Well, so I would like to ask you, like, what are your one or two biggest or fondest Street Fighter memories?
Well, I mean, if I had to pick out a favorite title in the entire series, I would go with Street Fighter Alpha 2. I just love that one above and beyond, you know, just about anything else that's out there. I really liked what they did in Street Fighter Alpha 1, and then in Alpha 2, they made it a lot more individualized with the different characters. Everyone got their own background. They added in a lot more characters. They added in the personalized bosses and mid-bosses. And so for me, that is the ultimate game of that series. I spent tons of time playing that when it was out on the Saturn. I enjoyed it in arcades as well. So that would be my top fighting game of all time, probably.
Yeah, I think that that's a great choice. I mean, I have so many fun memories tied to Street Fighter. I remember working at Software Etc. when I was in high school, and the day Street Fighter 2 came out on Super Nintendo, and the lines that just wrapped around the building, and dying to be able to get home to play it myself, right? You know, all the times at the bowling alley where I didn't care about bowling, but boy, they had Street Fighter 2 Turbo, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I think the kind of shining moment for me was when I went to an arcade and I saw a brand new machine that was just called 3.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
I loved that they didn't even have to say Street Fighter, that this thing is so important that it's just 3.
You know, they did not mention that in the history section of that game, and that is the one disappointment I have about all that bonus content. But please,
so continue. You remember that too,
I
right?
do. I definitely do. I thought that was pretty crazy. I'm like, they're not really going to call it that, are they? And they didn't really, but yeah, that's what it said on the arcade machines.
Yeah, and what was so interesting, too, is that now I think that Capcom rightly understands that it is a nostalgia product, first and foremost, right? So when you look at Street Fighter 4 and Street Fighter 5, it's back to all the old Street Fighter 2 characters. And I love that, right? That's great. But what's really interesting about 3 was it came out at a time in which they were actually still trying to evolve the series and move past 2 as kind of the old thing and give you something completely new, where the, you know, presence in that original game of like Ken and Ryu felt like more of throwing you a bone, right?
Yeah.
And it was not a nostalgia product. It was something that was designed to be vital and new and defining what fighting games should be.
This is all very true. Yeah, I mean, after years and years of, you know, so many iterations of Street Fighter 2, it was kind of a joke that, you know, how many different versions can they make of this thing? Then they delivered Part 3, and it's like, okay, we're going to change everything now. And they totally did. And I've never really invested that much time with that game, not nearly as much as I should. So I am, you know, thrilled to have that game as well as its two follow-ups, you know, in this collection. You know, I can enjoy them at my leisure now and, you know, finally perhaps play through with all the characters. It's great to have it on Switch.
It is. And I think actually it, you know, some people might say, you know, it's not complete without 4 and 5. But the thing to me is that really 3 does round it out in that. Yes, I know that if you looked really hard in one or two places in the United States, you could find a Street Fighter 4 cabinet, and there were some in Japan. Mm-hmm. But by and large, it was not an arcade release,
right?
That game was really a console release.
It was a 3DS release.
yeah, right. But I mean, the thing is like Street Fighter, you know, 1 to Street Fighter 3, that is the true arcade legacy. And I think that if we people, again, at least in their late 30s, early 40s, when they think Street Fighter, they will think more than anything about that arcade experience. And that's what this is all about.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, like we said, it's great. It has all the fantastic gameplay you could want, tons of extras. Absolutely recommended purchase.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Okay, I think with that said, that takes care of all of the recent Switch releases. There was one more game I wanted to bring up, and that is on 3DS, Dylan's Dead Heat Breakers. By any chance, did you pick up this one or at least play the demo?
Dylan's Dead Heat Breakers? Are you serious?
Yes. Did you not?
I've never heard of it. Never heard of it.
Well, are you familiar with the previous Dylan games, Dylan's Rolling Western and its sequel?
Am I going to disappoint you if I say no?
Oh my gosh, what kind of Nintendo fan are you? Yeah, Dylan's Dead Heat Breakers, Dylan being the Wild West armadillo. The previous games have been sort of this weird mishmash between action and tower defense. And now in this third game, it's also a bit more of a racing game. I guess that's sort of what Dead Heat Breakers is supposed to imply. Also, on top of that, in this version, your me gets incorporated into the game, or whichever me you choose. It can be your me, or it can be Mr. T's me, for all the game cares. And then that character gets turned into a furry, and it appears in the game as an NPC. In the demo, you know, he or she is like driving a truck, and as Dylan, you're then like smashing through the enemies, rescuing the truck. You know, basically you're charging up your speed gauge and then just smashing into these enemies and destroying them. Unfortunately, that's about all there is to the demo. You know, I know the full Dylan games have so much more to them. They have this whole tower defense aspect, as well as exploring the wilderness. And this demo really told me nothing about this. I don't understand how any of it goes together. You know, I was kind of hoping, Ethan, that there, by some chance, you had picked it up, because I really want to know what else is in the game. The demo did not sell me on it. And, you know, after playing that, it's like, well, maybe I'm just going to have to end up letting this one slide.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting to me also that you look at how big the market has become, and this game, even as a Nintendo fan, is invisible to me. But there is someone out there that was as excited as I pretended to be, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised it wasn't on your radar at all.
Yeah, I think it's just the 3DS thing. I've moved on. It would take a lot to get me to play another 3DS game because I have my trusty Switch. But it's good to know it exists.
It does exist, and it is a full-price release. It is a $40 game, but it is digital only. Yeah, unfortunately, unless it comes down in price or something, or I just get a really, really solid recommendation, this is a game I absolutely need to have. I am probably going to pass on this one as well. Yeah, there's just so much good stuff. You know, I really feel like I gotta try to pick and choose a little bit. And unfortunately, because of that, I think Dylan is going to end up as roadkill in my universe. But hey, at least the demo's out there for us to try.
Yeah, and while the pickings are getting slimmer on 3DS, I will say that if I was just going blindfolded, choosing just something on a random day that came out on the eShop for 3DS, I would have a better chance statistically of getting something good than if I did the same thing for Switch right now, just given the shovelware.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. All right, I think we had best take an intermission, and then when we come back, we'll discuss this week's big topic, which is video game compilations. All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is video game compilations. You know, as we were talking about earlier in the show, there have been some really fantastic gaming compilations on Switch recently. There's been this excellent Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection. There's been the Mega Man Legacy Collections 1 and 2. We have some great compilations on the way. We've got an SNK one coming later this year. And so we thought this would be a great opportunity to talk about some other compilations we would love to see coming to the Nintendo Switch.
And let me add, Chris, I think that while a lot of us are understandably disappointed that it doesn't look like our beloved Virtual Console, is coming back.
Yes, that's the other reason for this topic.
Yes, it could be a blessing in disguise. And by that, I mean, I love getting physical copies of games.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge with Virtual Console is it's all digital, and that fridge can fill up pretty quick in terms of storage.
Yes, this is true. As we've seen with the Wii, you always run that risk that eventually the store is going to shut down and something could happen, and then you don't have access to your content anymore.
Exactly. So I think that it's actually really nice that we can get sometimes these massive compilations like Street Fighter Collection. You said 12 games for $40. Well, yep. That's quite a deal, especially by Virtual Console standards, and you get the cart.
Right, right. Exactly. So it is with all that in mind and within this environment that we are approaching this week's big topic. You know, what would we like to see them do next? Where could they go from here?
Well, I'd like to start with what seems to be maybe the most obvious one. Remember, gun-shy Konami actually had a big hit at the launch of the Switch with Super Bomberman.
Oh, that's right.
We have almost not seen them at all. In fact, I can't think of a single follow-up title, even though I know that Bomberman sold very, very well.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So if that's the case, wouldn't it be fantastic to get a Mega Man-style collection focusing on the Belmonts?
Yes, yes, indeed it would. And I have to admit, that was on my most wanted list as well.
I mean, Castlevania, especially with all the hype around Bloodstained, would be such a nice thing to have. There's definitely a hunger for it. There would be a strong desire to get it on the machine.
A thirst, perhaps you would say. A bloodthirst.
Yeah. And what a great opportunity to have, you know, both the familiar and arcane on there. There's just so many interesting titles. Imagine getting, for instance, the Castlevania arcade game on that.
Mm-hmm. Haunted Castle, yes.
Yep. Or, you know, just making sure, of course, you get the Rondo of Blood and Dracula X so you could compare them side by side.
Yes, that would be cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much that you could do with that. And, you know, depending on how far you wanted to go, it would even be interesting as a curio, if nothing else, to get those N64 Castlevania games on it.
Yeah, maybe, maybe. I'm not exactly dying to play those again, but yeah, as a curiosity, I certainly wouldn't mind. And yeah, the thought of having Symphony of the Night finally on a Nintendo platform would, you know, make me grin from ear to ear.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think that that game is such an important, that series is such an important part of games history that we'd be remiss not to have it.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I don't think I was thinking something quite extravagant. I was thinking, you know, if we can somehow convince Konami to dip into their back catalog, I was kind of thinking, you know, initially, let's just get something nice and simple. Let's just give us those NES classics. Let's give us Castlevania 1, 2, and 3, along with Contra and Super C. And, you know, for me, obviously, in addition to having, you know, the Castlevania games, a big part of this would be Contra, original Contra 1, the NES Contra that was never on Virtual Console for ridiculous reasons. And I would love to see that arrive in one form or another.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly I am totally down with your Castlevania idea that, you know, goes throughout the ages, but also something that just went, you know, strict NES and was able to bring us, you know, those 8-bit games, especially Contra, I would be all for.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. Though Contra has just about enough good content to be its own collection. I mean, not everyone is a gem, but man, you know, you have the classic, obviously, but, you know, in addition to that, Contra 3 is a masterpiece.
Oh, yes,
and
it is.
I really like Contra Shattered Soldier as well.
Oh, yeah, that was one of my favorites on PlayStation 2, for sure.
So if you had that, you know, those are your A-side stuff, and there's enough B-side. I mean, Contra Hardcore is interesting, if a little too hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other PlayStation Contra games, again, are interesting, if nothing else, especially looking like in PS1 era and stuff like that.
Mm.
I mean, it's a series that has had its ups and downs, but think about even way forwards, Contra 4.
Yeah, Contra 4 was amazing.
Yeah. So I think that it's not as unbeatable as Castlevania in terms of lineup, but you could get a really solid Contra game of its own.
Mm-hmm. Also, by doing like the arcade versions as well as the NES versions of Contra and Super Contra, that would add a lot of interest to it as well.
Yeah. Now, I know we're generally thinking, because the tone has been set with stuff like Mega Man of older games, but while we're on that Konami beat, I got to say, one of the carts on Vita that I have spent the most time with was the Metal Gear collection, which had Metal Gear 2 and 3. Blue Point did that, and they went on to do Shadow of the Colossus. If you could get a team like that to put all of the Metal Gear games up to 3 or maybe even 4 on that machine, that would be fantastic. I mean, just think about getting original Metal Gear, getting the GBA Metal Gear game, which was terrific.
Oh, you mean the Game Boy one? The Game Boy Color one?
Sorry, Game Boy Color. That's right, the Ghost Babble one. That's what I'm thinking about, yeah. You know, getting Metal Gear Acid games would be great. You know, Peace Walker would be terrific. You know, there's just so many that would make for an interesting collection. And that's, again, a beloved series.
Yeah, I mean, it never even occurred to me that Konami would consider doing such a thing. I figure, you know, something like just porting over a handful of NES games, like they could be like, oh, we can take our hands out of the pachinko money swimming pool to you know, maybe port these over if someone really wants us to. But obviously, I would be totally loving it if they did a Metal Gear collection. I do love those Metal Gear games, and we haven't got a Metal Gear game since, was Twin Snakes the last time that we got one? No, obviously the last one would have been Snake Eater 3D. But, you know, they've been few and far between, and there's lots of opportunity to bring those out on Nintendo systems.
And again, imagine if we could get the original PlayStation Metal Gear Solid, but also the Twin Snakes, the Silicon Knights one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How at home would that be on a Nintendo system again?
Obviously, very much.
Yeah, Subsistence, getting that on there, right? You know, there's just, yeah, there's so much there. And again, there is precedent for it, given its presence on the Vita.
Yeah, yes, I suppose that is very, very true. I don't think it's likely, but it is very true.
What would be next for you?
Well, you know, I've really been enjoying these Mega Man Legacy Collection games, so I'm going to swing over to the Capcom side of things, and I'm going to give a completely crazy suggestion. I personally am ready for Mega Man Legacy Collection 3.
Okay.
Because as great as it is having Mega Man 1 through 10 all on Switch, there are plenty of additional Mega Man games that I think fans would still eat up. I mean, not probably as much as these first 10, but I would love to see a collection that included Mega Man The Wily Wars, which was, you know, the Genesis-enhanced ports of Mega Man 1 through 3 that never really got a proper release in the United States.
Wasn't that kind of a boss rush?
The Wily Wars? Yeah. No. It was basically a Super Mario All-Stars version of Mega Man 1 through 3, just, you know, prettier, better sound, better graphics, and then added, I think, 4 new stages called the Wily Tower, which were full-length levels with brand new bosses. So, yeah, that was just, you know, the real deal enhanced Mega Man. What you're thinking of might be Mega Man The Power Battles and Mega Man 2 The Power Fighters, which were arcade games that were basically just boss after boss after boss, and I would put those in this collection as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think that is what I was thinking about.
Yeah, basically I'm thinking of, you know, every original Mega Man game that wasn't in this collection, like all the spin-offs. This could be Legacy Collection 3. So Wily Wars, Power Battles, Power Fighters, Mega Man and Base, which
was Mega Man Soccer?
Yes, even Mega Man's Soccer and Mega Man Battle and Chase. I would love to see all those compiled together and you know, put on a collection to sort of complete the Mega Man's on Switch.
So did you mention Mega Man Legends?
I did not. I mean, that's sort of a separate thing to me. I mean, certainly I think there is room for, you know, them dipping into other Mega Man series. You know, they could do a collection that had Mega Man Legends 1 and 2 and The Misadventures of Tron Bonne. They could do, you know, some crazy collection that had all the Battle Network games. They could do something that had Zero and ZX. You know, there's plenty of room for all that. My idea for Mega Man Legacy Collection 3 would not include Mega Man Legends just because it's a different beast. But hey, I'll take all the Mega Man any way I can get it.
Yeah, I think also this idea of splitting things up across different releases makes sense. It's certainly more profitable and is nice to have things kind of broken up. So I'm okay with the idea of 3 Mega Man collections instead of just one, right? Mm-hmm. In similar form, boy, would I love it if they said, hey, you know what? We're going to do what we did on PS4 and we're going to bring out Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, which would be a perfect fit for the Switch, by the way. But in addition to that, and leading up to it, we're going to have 2 Final Fantasy collections that collect all the games except for 11. and give you the entire mainline Final Fantasy from 1 to 12.
That'd be nice. Yeah, that'd be very nice. It's been quite a while since we've gotten to play any of those on Nintendo systems. You know, they skipped out on Wii U. I mean, I guess we got some stuff on the NES Classic and the Super NES Classic, but sure, that'd be fantastic.
Well, and that's part of my thinking. Obviously, there is a relationship already there. And for so many people, that is kind of one of their core childhood experiences. Can we talk about two low-hanging fruit real quick, too?
Sure.
Disney Afternoon Collection?
Yeah, that was actually the next one I was going to suggest.
Just ship it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know what's stopping them. It was so much fun on PlayStation 4. That's DuckTales 1 and 2, Rescue Rangers 1 and 2, Darkwing Duck, and Tailspin. And while I'll be perfectly happy with them just, you know, taking the exact same game I already bought on PlayStation 4 and releasing it on Switch, I was hoping, like, you know, maybe while they're at it, they can, you know, be like, hey, we can entice people to buy it again if we throw in all the Game Boy games, you know, the Game Boy version of DuckTales 1 and 2 and Darkwing Duck and all that stuff. I think that would be an excellent excuse for people to repurchase the game, even if they already own it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And the other one that makes so much sense, maybe too much sense, is that this week I picked up on PlayStation 4 the Genesis Classics Collection, which is 50 Genesis games, and it has the rewind feature that you have on Mega Man, and it has multiplayer online, so I can play with old friends Streets of Rage 2. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was just playing that before we started recording the podcast, and I haven't played very much of it so far, but yeah, that's got a lot of great content, and it's like, why did they skip the Switch on this?
I can only imagine that they may have decided that they can, on that particular platform, sell more a la carte. And to be fair, they have already announced, like, Sonic games from M2. And, you know, M2 are amazing when it comes to that stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, that's probably the answer is, well, we're already doing Sega Ages. We're going to sell all these individually. We're not restricted to it just being Genesis. But you know what? I feel like there is room for both. There is room for this collection with the 50 games where everything is in its original form, more or less. And then there is room for the Sega Ages stuff where they have tweaked it and updated it and, you know, added new options here and there. And I would totally buy them both ways, personally. So
I would, too.
I still think there is room for this.
Well, especially if they had different features. Again, if the rewind mode was exclusive to this collection, but you had, you know, more functions and options for tweaking the visuals or something, any difference would be fine. And yeah, I mean, I've already bought Sonic the Hedgehog 10 times. What's another two?
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. But those to me are like the definition of low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're already out there. Why not do it? It would be great. I will happily buy them all over again.
Yeah.
Going back to Capcom again for a moment, though, we've already talked about Legacy Collection. We've already talked about Disney Collection. I'm kind of hoping they might do something with Ace Attorney.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen them do, you know, Ace Attorney Trilogy, you know, a couple of times. I don't really need an Ace Attorney Trilogy again of the original games, but I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe this would be an opportunity for them to finally bring us Ace Attorney Investigations 2, like a collection that just has Ace Attorney Investigations 1, which already came out back on DS and is already done, and then give us Part 2 as well, which was never localized for North America. So just a little compilation of these adventure-style games in the Ace Attorney universe where you play as Miles Edgeworth. You know, part of it would be, you know, stuff that's already done. Part would be a brand-new game, and, you know, by putting it on a new platform, it would finally give players a chance in North America to finally experience these stories. And that's kind of how we got Ace Attorney to begin with. You know, it was a GBA game. They decided, oh, we're not ready to bring that to the US yet. Then the DS rolled around. They're like, okay, now we can, you know, just port these games over and bring them out. Of course, you know, if they want to do them individually, that's fine. But I figure, hey, why not put them in a collection, give us both investigation games at once. That would be awesome.
That would be great. Yeah. You know, one that really comes to mind is also, if we're not going to get a Genesis collection, what about a Dreamcast collection complete with a version of Samba de Amigo that uses the Joy-Cons?
Well, that would be pretty awesome. That would be awesome as a standalone game by itself, for that matter. But yeah, they could do some pretty cool stuff there.
Yeah. I mean, that machine actually is really well suited to those types of properties. Getting a package that included Crazy Taxi and Seaman and, Samba de Amigo and Shenmue and all of that.
Yeah, Crazy Taxi has languished way too long.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, that would be really fun, getting Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 on there. Though I guess those are M2 games, right? They're part of the Sega Ages.
Oh, Sonic Adventure?
Yeah.
Boy, I didn't know about that.
That at least was a rumor that I think I had seen. I have no inside information at all, but yeah.
The last I heard, I remember they were considering, you know, possibly doing Saturn and Dreamcast games, but they hadn't committed to any of that actually happening.
Okay, okay.
But you could be totally right. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, there's just so many, and I love the idea of these compilations. And actually, while we're at it, why don't we have some deluxe editions that have more cool stuff in special collector's boxes?
Sure. I'll be down with that.
Yeah. I mean, I really thought that what they did for Sonic Mania was really cool, even though it didn't come with the actual cartridge.
That was so weird.
Yeah, it was. And you got that, didn't you?
I did. I actually didn't think it was that great once I had it in person. But if I had the game in there with it, I might be singing a different tune.
Well, and, you know, I think actually a really good way to approach it is, remember when the 3DS Mega Man collection came out, that's how you got your gold Mega Man.
That's right. Yep.
More of that, please. Like, give us some amiibos that are, like, really special. Make them gold amiibos, something cool, distinct, and make them exclusive to these collections. I mean, I'm happy to buy Cloud Amiibo, but like, bring Final Fantasy VII to a Nintendo platform for the first time in a collection and put them in there. That's how I'd rather get them.
Yep, that would be pretty darn cool. But yeah, you're totally right. If Street Fighter Collection had like a deluxe edition that included like a soundtrack on CD and, you know, maybe an alternate color Ryu Amiibo, oh man, I would have gone nuts for that.
Or Ken Amiibo. If you can only get Ken that way?
Well, I suppose so. I was going for the obvious, just recolor an existing mold here. But yeah, obviously a brand new character like Ken or Chun-Li or whatever would be better. But yeah.
Evil Ryu.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, they are totally, I think, missing a couple opportunities by not doing that sort of thing here. I mean, you know, we talked earlier about Mega Man 11, you know, getting at least the special Amiibo edition here. In Japan, they're getting like all kinds of, you know, crazy packages. They're going to cost, you know, upwards of $100. I'm not even sure what's in all those. But yeah, I feel like Capcom especially could be doing more with that stuff here. Anyway, we're getting off track, so let's head back to more compilation discussion. Was there anything else you wanted to add to your Sega chat, or should I mention my next suggestion?
No, please, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm going to head over to First Party Land and say that Nintendo should do a compilation I've been wanting for, boy, you know, probably 25 years now. You know, the game that set the standard for compilations was Super Mario All-Stars. That was kind of the first time I knew such a thing was possible, I knew such a thing could exist. And, you know, that was four great Mario games, all enhanced on Super Nintendo, just one generation later. And ever since then, and I probably mentioned this on the podcast before, I've been thinking they should do the same thing with The Legend of Zelda. Give us a Legend of Zelda All-Stars that includes, like, Zelda 1 and 2 and Link's Awakening. You know, pretty them up and, you know, sort of give us a new enhanced look at those classic games.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. And, you know, I think the advanced features, or rather the improved visuals, would be pretty cool. That being said, we have seen the Zelda games collected a couple times over, so they would need something,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but never quite like that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah. That would be interesting, especially if they use the All-Stars branding and called back to that kind of approach.
Mm-hmm.
That's a neat idea.
Yeah, that's something I've been wanting for a long, long time. And to go along those same lines, I think there is some room to do that with Kid Icarus as well. You know, there haven't been that many games in the series, but to take the original Kid Icarus and then of Myths and Monsters and to give those, like, complete facelifts, you know, make them look like, you know, 16-bit or 32-bit games and, you know, just pretty them up, put them on a cartridge together, I think that's something that could be really, really cool and fun.
For sure. You know, think about, of course, Metroid as well.
Well, I did think about Metroid, but I'm like, you know, most of those games, we've already got, you know, remakes or enhancements. We already have Zero Mission to complement the original Metroid. We just got the remake of Metroid 2. And so I feel like, you know, it's probably not the right time for a Metroid collection. We also already, you know, got a Prime collection on Wii. So I guess if there was anything they're going to do with Metroid, I would kind of like to say maybe it's time to do Prime Collection on Switch to prepare us for the brand new one that's coming out. So maybe that's what I do with Metroid.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I just guess I think also, though, personally, I think it's really fun to be able to look at games side by side, you know, when you're talking about a remake. And so if you're able to look at things like Zero Mission and compare it to the original, the new 3DS Return of Samus, and compare that to Metroid 2, that's kind of fun to me.
That is. That's true. What else you got?
You know, something that I would love to see, if we're not going to get the Genesis collection, would really, really be neat if we could see the Genesis Disney collection.
Now,
I am talking something that I'm sure would be a nightmare from a licensing standpoint. But imagine if you could get a collection that included Aladdin and Jungle Book and Ariel and Beauty and the Beast and, you know, every single Genesis Disney game that ever came out. There were so many
of
them.
We need Castle of Illusion and Quackshot. That's what really matters.
World of Illusion, absolutely. Imagine getting those.
But I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, Castle of Illusion and Quackshot are totally where it's at. Yeah, somewhere in the back of my mind, I was kind of thinking that too. It's like, oh, these are, you know, obviously missing from this Genesis collection, and they're clearly not on this Capcom collection. You're right, of course, it would be a licensing nightmare, but man, if that happened, I would be over the moon.
Yeah, so that type of thing would be, I think, the pie in the sky will never happen, but boy, is it neat to fantasize about.
Yes, indeed. And another one that it seems like it's never going to happen is, of course, the, you know, ever popular, ever long awaited, ever in high demand Mother 3.
However, we get
that, you know, we just want it some way or another to have an official North American release. You know, maybe Nintendo doesn't think it'll sell well as a standalone game for some reason. Maybe the best way to do it is to make a Earthbound collection and put Mother 1 and 2 and 3 all together on one Switch cartridge. That's one where they could go absolutely bonkers with a collector's edition like you're talking about. It doesn't matter what they made. People would buy the heck out of it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, again, that's the thing is, you know, things that give you the opportunity to play something new for the first time. That was so cool with Star Fox 2 and the SNES Classic.
It's true.
So, you know, so many people, myself included, have never had a chance to play Mother 3 in any form. So that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, maybe I'm being a little greedy by saying it should be a collection. I would obviously take it by itself if it was just a standalone game. But I figure, yeah, maybe that's the best way to market it is to do a collection like that. I would certainly pick it up immediately.
Now, going back to the virtual console thing, one of the things that I thought was so neat back when the Wii was out was the idea that you had your virtual Commodore 64 and your virtual Neo Geo and Genesis like all these platforms.
Totally.
Now, some wouldn't have enough high-quality content to make it worthwhile, but there are some, like, I mean, first of all, it would be neat to just get a collection of Neo Geo, right? Even though we have the bespoke titles, it would be neat to have a collection to complement that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're not going to get that because they're happy selling them for $8 a pop as an arcade archive release. But yeah, we did get an awesome Neo Geo collection on Wii, and I would certainly love to see like the modern equivalent of that.
Well, and give us a TurboGrafx collection as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess those are all in Konami's possession now. So, you know, that's probably about as likely as our aforementioned Castlevania, Contra, and Metal Gear collections. But who knows? They were still bringing them out on Wii U Virtual Console long after everyone else had given up. So who knows?
Sure. And again, when it comes to the idea of actually getting the best of the best of consoles, even the stinker consoles like the Jaguar, right? I still would definitely pop $40 for a Jaguar collection or a 3DO collection.
I'm not sure I would, but it's definitely an intriguing proposition. Virtual Boy, on the other hand, I would totally be down with that. That is probably the best way for Nintendo to make me buy another 3DS is a searing, eyeball-melting red 3DS system that you know, it comes packed with a compilation cartridge that includes every official Virtual Boy release on it. That would be awesome.
Waterworld, man. Waterworld, again.
Sure. Gotta have the water world.
Here's the other thing. We're talking crazy and we'll never see it, but wouldn't it be neat if Nintendo released a Gear VR style headset and had a handful of games, but one of the crown jewels was the Virtual Boy collection?
Yeah, that would certainly be interesting. Wouldn't hold my breath for that to happen, but it would definitely be cool.
Yeah.
So I think we've gone through all the ideas we've had. You know, if we could just, you know, reach into the magic hat and make one of these happen, which one would it be?
Well, I think that it probably would be the Dreamcast collection. That's what I think would be the most fun for me. But again, you know, I'm a little biased there.
Yes, understandable. And you know, for me, as a hardcore longtime Mega Man fan, I think that Legacy Collection 3 I propose would probably be my top pick. You know, Mega Man the Wily Wars in English has been one of my dream purchases for, you know, way, way, way too long. So I guess all we can do is, you know, cross our fingers, hope that companies are listening, and, you know, hopefully some of these will become reality one of these days.
Fingers crossed.
Indeed. And with that said, I believe that does it for this week's big topic. So I suppose we should be wrapping up this edition of the podcast. However, you know, before we go, I believe we do have time for one more thing.
What's that, Chris?
That would be a dramatic reading.
I'm thankful that we made time for that.
And this time it comes from the Pack Watch preview from Nintendo Power Volume 4 of the classic action platformer Ninja Gaiden. Yeah, this new game from Tecmo got the highest marks of any title we've seen in a long time. It has whole new feel, outstanding graphics, incredible challenge, and a great storyline. We expect this one to hit number one on the player's poll in no time. Ninja Gaiden features a cinema display system that advances the story with movie-like scenes, giving you a rest between action sequences. Sound effects, different camera angles, and background music add to the realism and enhance the story. Ryu's ninja wall spring jump and climbing skills remind us of Metroid gameplay. This one will be our main feature in March, so get ready for some real ninja action. It's hot, hot, hot. I kind of like the way how casual that preview was written.
Yeah, it's crazy because I'm in marketing now, and I can't imagine ever releasing a press release that ended with "it's hot, hot, hot."
Well, it's not a press release; it's just a preview in the magazine. But yeah, it's definitely a different approach from what we've come to expect. It's also kind of bizarre that they compared it to Metroid, because in Metroid 1, there was no wall spring jump like that at all.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it was harder than heck to pull off in Super Metroid, but it didn't even exist in Metroid 1. It's like, what the heck are they talking about back in 1989 that it's kind of like Metroid? Oh, well.
Well, maybe they couldn't reference Batman because of licensing.
Perhaps. Was Batman even... No, Batman wasn't even a thing then either, so I don't know.
Oh, I guess not.
Yeah, I can't explain it. Oh, well. Regardless, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can find Ethan at Ethan_Einhorn. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and of course, if you like the podcast, it would be great if you told your friends about us. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Ethan Einhorn.
Thanks, man.
And the most handsome fighter around, Vega.
Ole, ole, ole.
We will see you next time.